Well, that's a wonderful consolation, isn't it? Whatever need arises in our life, He's exactly what we need. I praise God for that tonight. Thank you for coming out on a Saturday night. No doubt you had a busy day. You men that work outside the home probably came home today and had a lot of honey-do list things that you had to do for your wife. And you've probably no doubt been busy, and it's been a busy day. But thank you for coming tonight. And you ladies probably were busy getting ready for the pitch-in dinner, which we are going to enjoy tomorrow. But thank you for being here on this Saturday night. If you have your Bibles, going to be looking in the Old and New Testament tonight, two different passages of Scripture. The New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5. The Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 21. And 22 and 23. We're going to be looking at three different chapters in 1 Samuel and then looking in 1 Peter chapter 5. Most of the boys and men, and I might add some of the girls and ladies, including my wife Sherilyn, remember the childhood games of cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, the fictional and yet the intense army battle scenes of the childhood imaginations. Any guys, any girls want to admit to that? You remember those days. We can remember the make-believe forts, the toy guns, the hats, the rest of the get-up gear that went along with those outdoor games. I remember playing with my friend on one occasion. Our weapons were BB guns. No, we weren't shooting each other, but that was our artillery. Maybe around here you play those actual games and shoot BBs. I've heard of some people that do, but we weren't shooting each other with, but BB guns was our weapons, and our transportation happened to be an old Craftsman lawnmower. That was our childhood, you know, just a get up. They were fun and exciting days, weren't they? But you know, if we were to take out the fake, the make-believe world and insert real life situations, the fighting wouldn't be fun anymore, would it? Running and hiding, shooting and killing, battles and crime scenes are far from trivial. As we reflect on these childhood games and turn our minds to Scripture, have you ever wondered what kind of games the Bible characters played growing up? Have you ever thought about that? What kind of childhood games did Noah play? Maybe with interest in animals, he played duck, duck, goose with his friends. I don't know. How about Moses? Perhaps he and his friends played follow the leader. Moses was always the leader, never the follower. What about Abraham and Joseph? What kind of games do you think David played? Perhaps he played kings and peasants and giants and shepherds. I don't know. I don't know what they played, but we can let our minds wander and imagine. Perhaps they were similar to our childhood games. If David grew up playing the common outdoor games of my day and of this day, it didn't take too many years for the fictional games of childhood to quickly become reality in his adult life. It all began after David killed Goliath. Following his victory over the Philistine giant, David began having military success. The people of Israel began chanting, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." And this national anthem did not set well with King Saul. This victory accolade prompted jealousy in the heart of Saul, and this jealousy developed into hatred, and his hatred turned into a desire to kill David. Scripture even said, "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward." So with this evil in his heart, Saul began to pursue after David. Saul began to chase David over and over again. As we read through 1 Samuel chapter 19, we see Saul's desire to kill David. Verse 1 said, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all of his servants that they should kill David." You read down in verse 10, "And Saul sought to smite David." The very next verse, verse 11, "Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him." Verse 15, "And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed." For what purpose? "That I may slay him." No longer was this a childhood game where all the friends went back home when it got dark. No longer was it a game where everyone knew that everything was going to end okay. It was just make-believe. It was just fun. But in David's life, it's a real manhunt. Someone is chasing after him. So David began to run for his life. David was a wanted man. And I must stop momentarily before we move on, and let me say a very important word to every one of you young people here tonight. This is the one thing, one of the things I want you to take home with you when you leave here tonight. And that is this: you are wanted. You are a wanted individual. You might say, some of you might say, there's not anyone who wants me. I'm a nobody. I'm just a big fat zero. I have no value. I'm no good to anyone. But I want to tell you something. I must expose that lie. That is a lie directly from hell and from Satan himself. That's the furthest thing from the truth. You are somebody tonight. You young people, you have value. You have worth. You are somebody, and God has a plan for your life. You are somebody, and this church loves you. But I must tell you, beyond God's desire, beyond our want, our desire and our love for you, this church's desire and love for you, there is an unseen battle going on in your soul. If you're here as a sinner, God wants you. He wants you to surrender your life to Him. But if you're here as a Christian, Satan wants you. He wants to destroy your life and ultimately damn your soul. The devil has his sights on you. The crosshairs are in his sights. Well, I know that the truth of God wanting your life is very important for you young people to hear. I'm also convinced that you as Christian young people need to be warned about how seriously the devil wants your soul. I want to momentarily look at this and then look at some helps that God provides while in the midst of being pursued. My text is a very familiar verse of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter, as he's writing this epistle, begins chapter 5. As you look at verse 1, you find that he is writing to the elders. But as you continue reading in that chapter in verse 3 or 4, I can't remember what it is, but you see the shift. He moves from speaking to the elders and he talks to the young people. He shifts his focus from the elders to the young people. And he gives an incredible description of the Christian's enemy. He says in verse 8, your adversary, the devil. Again, I believe through the whole tenor of Scripture, we can understand that this verse can be applied to everyone, to every age group. But in this setting, Peter is talking to the young people, and he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter is talking to the young people. Let me give a couple other translations of this phrase. The Bible in basic English says, the evil one who is against you goes about like a lion with open mouth in search of food. Young's literal translation renders it, your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion doth walk about seeking whom he may swallow up. Peter here is painting the picture very clearly. Satan is prowling about looking to attack the young person. He doesn't care what the age is. He's just looking for someone to destroy. As we contemplate this truth, one may wonder upon which age group Satan fights his most intense fight. While this perhaps could never be gauged, I am thoroughly convinced that Satan frequently targets those who are younger. He puts his most intense attack, his most ferocious assault on the young people. I heard the illustration of the man who went and preached a revival somewhere, and he came back home and they asked him about the revival. And he said, well, 2.5 people got saved. And they looked at him kind of weird and they said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, 2 children and 1 adult. See, the adult had already given half of his life to someone else. But the children had their entire life to live for God. And I believe this is the reason why Satan focused some of his most ferocious attacks on young people. Now, I'm not denying the fact that Satan fights at every age. You talk to the older people and there are some very serious attacks that Satan throws at them. But I believe some of the time the most ferocious attacks are on the young people. And as I consider and look in 1 Samuel 21, 22, and 23, as I consider this hide-and-seek saga of Saul and David, I notice the good news that David is given help from his God. And for a few moments tonight, I want to notice a few of these helps that David was given as Saul pursued. And then from these helps, draw some comparisons as to how God gives help to the young person in the midst of the devil's pursuit. And I believe if you older people will listen in, I believe you will receive encouragement as well. We will find these comparisons in chapters 21 through 23. If you leave your Bible open, we'll be looking through these chapters and reading several different verses. First of all, let's look in chapter 21. Now, again, keep in mind that the hot pursuit is happening. Saul wants to kill David. So this is what is happening. Chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto him, Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I sent thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. Skip to verse 6. So the priest gave him hallowed bread. Because of the pursuit, of Saul to David, David was weary and was in need of nourishment. David needed the strength to continue running from the man who was hunting his life. And his need took him to the priest who supplied the bread for his sustenance. The comparison I would make from this passage is this, and this is for you young people, God provides strength for the battle. Listen to David's testimony in verse 40 of chapter 22. For thou, speaking of the Lord, hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. David was provided strength from the Lord for the battle. Young people, I'm aware tonight that in the battle for your soul, the devil uses many things to try and deplete your strength. The devil knows if he can make you weak, he knows if he can deplete your strength, he can make you fall. He can make you give up. He can make you give in. How does he try to make us weak? How does the devil try to deplete your strength? I'll mention 2 ways tonight for the sake of time. First of all, notice peer pressure. Peer pressure. To drain the strength. Deplete your stamina. Chuck Swindoll tells about a study of teenagers and peer pressure. The design of the study was simple. They brought groups of 10 adolescents into a room for a test. Each group was instructed to raise their hands when the teacher pointed to the longest line on 3 separate charts. What one person in the groups of 10 did not know was that the other 9 had been instructed ahead of time to vote not for the longest line, but for the second longest line. And regardless of the instructions they heard, once they were all together in the group, the 9 were not to vote for the longest line, but vote for the next to the longest line. This left the 10th student being the only one who would be voting for the longest line. Guess what happened? Time after time, this 10th student would glance around, frown in confusion at the way the others were voting, and slip his hand up with the group. The instructions were repeated, and the next card was raised. Each time, the self-conscious person would sit there saying a short line is longer than a long line simply because he lacked the courage to challenge the group. This remarkable conformity occurred in about 75% of the cases and was true of small children and high school students as well. As I think about that study, unfortunately for you young people, the peer pressure that you face is not choosing the short line. Some of you face peer pressure, less peer pressure than others. The circumstances of life have put you in a controlled environment that provides less instances of peer pressure. And I thank God for those. I thank God for the Christian homes. I thank God for the Christian education. I thank God for the controlled environments that keep peer pressure to a smaller degree. But how, for some of you, circumstances provide extreme day in and day out peer pressure. You face it. Ed was approaching 100 years old. He was a Navy veteran of World War I. He actually lived to be 101, born in the year of 1900. When someone asked Ed, "Sir, what is the greatest thing about being 100 years old?" With a smile and a gleam in his eye, Ed said, "No peer pressure." Ed had lived past those that were providing the peer pressure. But unlike Ed, you young people face extreme peer pressure in your life. Peer pressure to lie, to cheat, to steal, to smoke, to drink, to be immoral. But young people, in the midst of peer pressure, I want you to know that God provides you the strength to resist. The second way Satan will try to deplete your spiritual strength is closely related to peer pressure, but yet different in some regards, and that is temptation. This subject obviously is a complete series in itself. Cannot be adequately covered in a sub-point that it is in this message. But let me say to you young people face great temptations in this life. You face amazing temptations that some of the older ones sitting here never faced in their time. There are temptations that come from every side to look at things that are impure, to listen to things that are unhealthy, to go to places that are ungodly. But I want you to know tonight, the good news is you can be victorious over temptation. Scripture tells us that God provides a way of escape for us in the time of temptation. I want to make a statement here. It's not original. It was actually made by Benjamin Franklin. But I also want you to get this in your hearts and minds. Benjamin Franklin once said, "It is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follow it." It's easier to suppress that first desire than to satisfy all that's going to follow it. Can't cover all the areas that Satan uses to deplete your strength. But you young people, I want you to know there is strength for the raging battle that you're in. The devil is pursuing. The devil is chasing. He is after you. But God has promised strength for you. Listen to His promises. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee." That's a promise. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." One New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. The whole parade was held out behind them until someone could run and get a can of gas. But the amusing thing about that was this float represented the Standard Oil Company. With its vast oil resources, its own truck was out of gas. And young people, in the same way, we have an unlimited source of strength. But the truth is, we must take time for the maintenance. Young people, there's an incredible amount of strength at your disposal that God wants to give you in the battle. But if you want that strength, it's going to take maintenance on your part, spending time with God to develop the inner strength that you must have for the battle. Let's move to the second comparison. The second comparison we see in this pursuit is seen in the same chapter in verses 8 and 9. "And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." Here we see David still being pursued. Now he has strength. Now he has food. But he didn't have a weapon for the fight. David didn't have a sling in his hand. He didn't have a rock in his shepherd's bag. He was defenseless. So before David left the priest's presence, he said, "Do you have a spear? Do you have a sword? Do you have some sort of weapon that I could take with me?" And the priest said, "I've only got one thing, and you've used it before. It's the sword that you used on the old giant Goliath." And David said, "There's not another one like it. Give that one to me." And David left that place with a weapon for the fight. Second comparison out of these verses I notice is for you young people, God provides weapons for the battle. Young people, while it is true that there's an enemy that is pursuing you, the good news is you are not defenseless. God has given you access to weapons for the warfare. It's not missiles, it's not bombs, it's not grenades. It is spiritual weapons for the spiritual warfare. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, concerning the weapons and the warfare, writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." It says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Then he says in verse 13, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Paul in these verses gives us three reasons why we must have this Christian armor. Verse 11 tells us the devil's tricky. Verse 12 tells us the battle is spiritual. Verse 13 tells us the day is evil. But then in verses 14 through 17, Paul gives us the listing of the weapons that are at our disposal. One writer gave this outline. He said, "The belt of truth is for the dart of deception. The breastplate of righteousness is for the dart of disapproval. The gospel of peace is for the dart of dissension. The shield of faith is for the dart of doubts. The helmet of salvation is for the dart of discouragement. The sword of the Spirit is for the dart of disbelief." These weapons are also another sermon in itself, but know this, the very tactic, for every tactic Satan throws at you young people, God has a weapon for you. And tonight I want to tell you, just because the devil is fighting doesn't mean you give in or you give up. No, you fight back. You know, Scripture tells us in several places to flee many things. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, "Flee fornication." 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "Flee idolatry." 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee youthful lust." But nowhere in Scripture does it say to flee from the devil. Nowhere. Rather, it says, "Resist the devil." The Greek word there means to stand against. It means to oppose. It means to withstand. Not run away. Resist the devil. And what's the devil do? He runs. We don't run from the devil. We stand our ground by the weapons that God has given us. And He is the one that must flee. Young people, I must remind you, you're not defenseless. There's the weapon of prayer. There's the weapon of Scripture. There's the weapon of faith. David was given a weapon for the fight, and you young people too have a weapon for the fight. Third comparison is found in chapter 22. It appears at this time David is all alone while Saul is pursuing after him. He's alone. David didn't have his family with him. He didn't have friends. He didn't have a church family. He was facing the battle all alone by himself. But look at what God provides in verses 1 and 2. "David departed thence," that's from Gath, "and escaped to a cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. David was all alone, but what does God do? God brought him his family. God brought him a bunch of friends to help him in his battle. And this is the third comparison I notice, that God provides support in the battle. In a day when support groups are available for every physical and psychological problems, there's also a spiritual support group for the spiritual battle that you young people face. I want you to know tonight, young people, you're not on a solo flight. Just as God sent family and friends to help David through his battle, God has sent you young people, people that will help you in the battle for your soul. So I look at this group tonight. Those that are here, you're a blessed group of individuals. You're a blessed group of young people. God has surrounded you with individuals who want to help you in the battle. No, they can't make your decisions for you, but they can help you by praying for you and loving you and encouraging you. There's the support of Christian parents or siblings, support of a church family, support of godly friends, support of spiritual teachers. And all of you here tonight may not have all of those supports, but at least you have one of them. And beyond all of these supports, God is on your side in the battle that you face. Deuteronomy tells us the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. Isaiah 46 says, and even to your old age, I am he, the Lord says, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. I must remind you and emphasize that you're not fighting a solo flight. There is a support group that is helping you. Just as David had support in his battle, you have support in your battle with your family and friends and, yes, your pastors. And we don't always know, pastors and those that are in this congregation, don't always know how to help you young people unless you come for help. Unless you come to share the difficulties that you're facing. So I challenge you young people, when the battle is too tough for you, seek help. Don't quit. Don't give up and say, well, it's just too difficult for me to do. Don't do it alone. Seek the advice of Pastor Ziegler. Seek the advice of the godly people that he has surrounded you with. Don't do it alone. There is support in the battle. A final comparison is found in chapter 23, 1 Samuel. Verse 7 says, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul said, and Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. And he asked the question, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. So, verse 13, then David and his men, which were about 600 by now, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. This passage tells me that God provides direction in the battle. And people, there are times as the battle is hot and the enemy is on your tail and the enemy is pursuing that you're going to need direction from God. There will be times when you're uncertain of where to go and what to do and when to do it. But I want you to know that God, the God you serve, has promised over and over and over again in Scripture to give you direction. Your next step is already planned. Your next step is already mapped out. He's not going to abandon you in the battle. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Young people, God has promised to direct your steps. One of the most familiar passages is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Three simple things. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. That the word for trust in Proverbs 3:5 is a word that means run for refuge. You ever been out in Walmart parking lot or whatever, and you come out and it's just pouring down rain, sheets of rain, and you run to your car to get inside to protect you from the rain? This is kind of the words here that the writer is using, that David is using. Trust in the Lord means run to him. And young people, when you don't know which way to go, when you're not sure of the next step, when you don't know which way to go and where to turn and where God is leading you, your requirement is to run to him. Run to him. Don't rely on your own strength. Acknowledge God in everything that you do, and then he will direct your path. God provides direction in the battle. It doesn't always come when we want it or when we feel we need it, but it gives direction in his perfect time. So in closing, let's recap. You young people, I want you to know tonight you're wanted. You're wanted tonight. You're wanted by God, but you're also wanted by Satan. You are the subject of a spiritual battle that is going on in your soul. Although you can't see all that's going on, you are the focus of a spiritual battle. But tonight I want to encourage you as a Christian young person, you are the possessor. You're a possessor of strength for the battle. You're a possessor of the weapons for the battle. You're a possessor of the support for the battle. And you're a possessor of the direction for the battle, because God has promised every single one of those things for you. So tonight you may be discouraged. Tonight you may be struggling with the battle. The temptation, the peer pressure, the difficulty that Satan has brought your way because you're in his crosshairs and he wants you. You're serving God with all of your heart. You're doing what is best. And because of that, the devil's got you in his sights. If you're here tonight, I want you to know that as a Christian, you have all of these things at your disposal because God has promised them to you. The song we sang tonight says, he'll be to you exactly what you need. And I want to leave you with that tonight, with that thought. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're facing as a young person that is serving God, you have strength, you have support, you have all of the things at your disposal if you allow God to work in your life. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for each and every person that is here tonight. Thank you for each and every young person that is here. Thank you for the desire they have to serve you. But Lord, we know the reality is that while we are serving you, the pursuit is hot. And Satan is trying to deceive and to trip up and to cause the young person to fail. But Lord, help them tonight. Help them to realize that as a Christian, these things are at their disposal if they will just keep the maintenance, if they will keep their eyes fixed on you, if they will keep spending time in your word and keep a right relationship with you. All these things are at their disposal. Thank you again for your word. Help us to apply it to our heart. And for all that you do for us, we'll not fail to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.